So it's nice to be with you this morning. It's the Lord's Day. We rejoice together in what God has done for us in Christ. And we're going to do so by hearing the word now. I'm going to read to you the text for the sermon. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Let's all give attention to this, the voice of our Lord. And in the same reason, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to its reading. Let's pray together. Our Father, we rejoice together in the good news that has come to us. We pray that you would help us to receive it in fresh ways today. We want to learn. We want to love the promises you give. And we want to live happily with the gospel of peace and comfort set upon us and moving within us. Hear us all as we pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. So I think some of you do know that I spent some time with my family in Uganda, along with some who are present here, serving Christ and his interest in world discipleship in that place. And so I'll just remind you of that so you'll understand the introduction to my sermon. It was my pleasure for those years to give good news to shepherds in Karamojong fields in rural Uganda. I loved explaining the gospel to them, and I loved telling them how honor came to shepherds like them when they received an amazing message, the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. Shepherds in present-day Karamoja are not unlike those who lived and worked when Christ was born. They are young boys, usually. They do not enjoy the respect of their people. In fact, they're not given much attention at all. They move about, driving animals from one place to another, and that's about it. They have an important job, if not a coveted job. No one in Karamoja aspires to becoming a shepherd. Shepherds in Jesus' day were marginalized figures. They were not respected. They were assumed to be thieves, in fact, though they had the very important job of caring for animals who were being raised as future sacrifices. Still, they suffered under a reputation that you and I would not enjoy. But what a great honor was given to them. They were the first recipients of the most important birth announcement in history. And what an important task they had to give the report that good news had come into the world, news for all people in the world. Today I want us to rejoice in this news, the very news that the shepherds received. It is good news. It is the best news. It is news that delivers us from death and promises us life everlasting. And so we want to hear that good news today. And I want us to receive that news under these 3 points. So here's the outline. I think it may be in your bulletin. Good news announced, that's one. Good news described. And then thirdly, good news pursued. So first, good news announced. Imagine a dark, quiet night. Can't say how dark or even how quiet necessarily, but when you consider life in our day and at our time, surely it was very quiet and very dark by comparison. Very little going on. So imagine it. You're doing your job, watching the flock. And then with no advanced warning, the silence is broken, the darkness displaced by the presence of God's glory. It is bright, and it's all around you. What would you do? How would you feel? We don't have to wonder how the shepherds felt. The Bible tells us they were filled with great fear. It's there in verse 9. As was the case with other figures in the Bible, the sight of God's manifested glory produced fear. Decades later, the Apostle John will drop to the ground as if dead when finding himself in the presence of Jesus' face, which was like the sun shining in full strength. That's Revelation 1:17. And Christ's words to John were the very words heard by these shepherds. Fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What a declaration! What a birth announcement! We're all familiar with birth announcements, aren't we? But babies we know are not announced like this one. An announcement was made 2 years ago that drew the attention of all British subjects, many in our own country as well. On April 23rd, 2018, a royal birth took place. Louis, the third child of Prince William and Kate Middleton. And if you were there at that time, and if you were to pass by Buckingham Palace on the day of his birth, you would have read the following sign as it was posted there. Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Cambridge, was safely delivered of a son at 11:01 a.m. today. Her Royal Highness and her son are doing well. Shall I keep reading? I can't, because there's nothing left to read. That was it. Simple. To the point. Our announcements are like that too. Brief, just the facts, with an additional request to rejoice with mom and dad perhaps. But this one in Luke chapter 2, although it is brief, was filled with grace and joy and promise. There never was such an announcement before, and there will never be another. And with the statement of the Lord's birth was the promise of a sign. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Doesn't seem like much of a sign, does it? The sign that a baby is born is a baby who has been born. He was wrapped up, as babies are, and lying in a manger, a place where animals like those guarded by the shepherds find their food. It might seem that the sign of God's glory surrounding these shepherds, or the sign of the angel's message to the shepherds, would be far more interesting and significant than finding a newborn in Bethlehem. But this is all to the point. God is now with us, dear shepherds. He is, as Paul will later write, manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. He is really here. He is fully here. He came from heaven. He entered the world and is just like other children you might visit at their birth. He is poor, like you are. He is a baby, like you were. And when you see the sign, you will know that your Savior has come. And then began the concert. Verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The greatest birth announcement ever made was accompanied by the greatest choir ever heard. An army of angels came and joined the one, and together they worshiped. They sang the praises of God. And then they went away. They finished their song, left the shepherds in the field, and returned to heaven. So there they were again. Shepherds in the field, watching sheep. I hope that you are amazed by this. This announcement and this angelic chorus was not delivered to governors or a high priest or a king or anyone seen as important or influential in those days. Herod was not there. Caesar was not invited to the concert. The angels came to shepherds and sang with what had to be very high volume praises to the God of heaven. I can't imagine bright glory and whispering praise. Can you? And it was praise. These angels had no self-interest. They delivered a message from God and offered perfect praise to God. Glory to God in the highest. And they worshiped in the presence of a few shepherds on a hillside. And then as quickly as they appeared, they were gone. The silence returned. The darkness returned. And the shepherds agreed about what they would do next. Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. So what can we say about the good news? How can it be described? There are so many amazing words in this announcement that magnify Christ and bring help to all who believe in him. Jesus is the one who brings joy to the people. That's verse 10. It is the Christian duty to rejoice in the Lord, and Christ's birth equips us to do so. Rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4. Again, I will say it, wrote Paul, rejoice, the gospel of joy. Jesus brings peace, peace on earth, as the angel put it. Not that everyone on earth will get along, but that God is actively reconciling people in this world to himself through the work of his Son. And this is not a matter of human effort. It is an outflow of God's favor. He is pleased to do his work in his people for his glory. The news is so good that one word will not suffice to describe it. Joy, peace, even the word Savior is there, the name Christ is there, the word glory, all these and more preach to us the good news that has come with the arrival of a baby in Bethlehem. The one word I want to highlight is actually not in the promise, but it's there indirectly in the first two words spoken by the angel. Fear not. Here's another way to put it. This is the words of Isaiah 40. Comfort my people. Ours is a gospel of comfort. And it's so important for you as God's children to believe this. The angel told the shepherds, fear not. Not because their fear was a wrong response to the witness of glory, but because what the angel came to announce was the antidote to whatever fear they felt. The gospel is news of consolation. It is a message of comfort. It is good news precisely because it frees people from their slavery to fear. And I say that because of Hebrews 2. Let me read verses 14 and 15 to you. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Fear, particularly the fear of death, is a terrible master. And there are many who are mastered by it. Few speak of it, but I do believe that many live in fear. Voltaire lived in the 18th century France. He hated the good news and mocked people who believed it. Most of you have read or will at one point read something written by Voltaire. He was a man who died without hope. He did not die without fear. Here is one record of something he said on the day he died. Speaking to someone in the room, he made this offer. See what you think of it. I am abandoned by God and man. I will give you half of what I am worth if you give me 6 months' life. It's chilling. He was desperate. And despair that his life was fading away. Although I do wonder why he didn't offer more than half. But to give you a sense of how determined he was to remain in his unbelief, let me read this. A priest urged him near the end to renounce Satan. Voltaire said this, "It is not time to make new enemies." Those may have been his last words. There is always some doubt about last words, but surely if these accounts are right, the man died as he lived. an enemy of God and of his Son, and a denier of the good news that came to all the world, including him. Voltaire had reason to fear, but he did not have an excuse. The good news was available to him, and as far as we know, he did not receive it. Isn't it great to be liberated from fear? Fear of death? Fear of anything, really. Isn't it good that the comfort we have in Jesus is not comfort in words only? We've heard the words, don't be afraid, things will work out, it'll be okay, your troubles will pass. And these words are okay in the right context, I suppose, but they really don't do anything to bring the comfort that the fearful need. This is what the fearful need. Jesus came and lived and died and rose to secure peace with God, a peace that is sure and that is beyond our understanding, Philippians 4, 7. Your comfort is the result of God fulfilling his promise to send a son. Nothing less. Here's a list of 10 things to do when fear comes. They come from the National Health Service of the United Kingdom. See what you think. Here they are. Are you afraid? Here are 10 things for you to do. Take time out. Breathe through panic. Face your fears. Imagine the worst. Are you helped yet? Look at the evidence. Don't try to be perfect. That's pretty good. Visualize a happy place. Talk about it. Go back to basics and reward yourself. These are coping measures, and they might help, I suppose. But where's the baby? Where is faith in Jesus? Where is worship your King? That's good advice. But where is it on the list? It's not there. It doesn't make the top 10. Where are the words of the angel? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is not one thing that might help some people. This is the only thing that will help any people. Fear not, your Savior has come. His is a gospel of comfort, deep, lasting comfort that cannot be found anywhere else. Fear not, children of God. The gospel is true. The gospel is for you. Interesting, the words given by the angel. I wonder if you've thought about this. For to you is born this day. We don't speak like that, do we? We say, to Jack and Sally is born a daughter or a son. Why did the angel say that Jesus was born to shepherds? Because he came into the world to them and for the world. Jesus is their Savior. Jesus is our Savior. Unto us a child is born. That's the prophecy, Isaiah 9:6. He is ours. And we are his. Glory to him. Good news pursued. The shepherds did not delay. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The Bible says they went with haste. They knew the message was from God. They knew they had to leave their sheep and head to Bethlehem. They knew that they would see the sign, and they did see him. There he was with Mary. And with Joseph. There's no reason to think that the shepherds behaved any differently than you and I would when visiting a newborn. They saw him, shared their joy with mom and dad, picked up the baby, commented on how cute he was, or on his hair, or lack of hair. These things are not in the text, and I don't know how such visits went in the first century, but I'm sure the shepherds conducted themselves according to the customs of the day. We don't know everything they said, but we do know that they shared their story, the message that came to them. How could they not talk about that? They received the good news and shared what they received. And all the people wondered. Here's a question. Are you surprised when you hear the rest of the shepherd's story? Here it is, verse 20. Not much to it, but here it is. And the shepherds returned. That's it. They finished their visit and they went home. What? No book contract? No talk show appearances? Surely they must have become powerful preachers, at least that. Why not? They were chosen to receive the most important announcement ever, one that would literally change the world. And no one else heard it. God sent an angelic choir just for them. Surely that is a story for ratings and sales. No? They went back to their sheep, which is very good for the sheep. But they went back as changed people, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let's close by looking back and then looking ahead. The birth announcement sent to the shepherds was an amazing wonder, but it was not the first one. Unlike birth announcements we make, the one introducing Jesus was made several times before the birth took place, centuries before the birth took place. Here's one of them, Micah 5:2. I think you know these words. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. It's good for us to reflect on the big picture, God's intention, his unalterable plan to direct the course of history for his glory and for the salvation of his people. We could take another sermon or two just to reflect on the cascade of events leading to the very moment when Jesus was born. You get a sense of this at the beginning of Luke 2 and the registration that brought Joseph and Mary and Jesus to Bethlehem. Then, that's the look back. Then for the look ahead from the perspective of Luke chapter 2. I want to suggest that we zoom out a bit and take a look at the Gospel of Luke from the bird's eye. It begins with a baby wrapped in linen and the call to shepherds to go and see. It ends with linen too. But those who went saw nothing wrapped in it. He is there in Bethlehem. Go and see. Go and see. He is not there in the tomb. He is risen. We often say that Jesus came into the world in order to die, and that is true. He had to die in order to save his people from their sins. That's the gospel. That's our hope. But it is also true, and necessarily true, to say that he came into the world to rise from the dead and secure life everlasting for all who trust in him. And I hope you all trust in him. Let us pray. Father, thank you for promising us life. Thank you for Jesus, the one who came into the world and lived among the people, died for our sins, and rose with power. We long to know this Savior of ours more and more, and we want to make him known to the world. Thank you for the peace and joy we have in him. Thank you for the comfort we have in him. And help us, Lord, to fear not, knowing your perfect love that drives it out. And help us to honor you in our hearts, our work, and in all that life brings us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.